I'm a Dell Vice Chairman of something about the Health District Public Health Advisory Board. I wanted to say that this is going to be my second to last meeting. My term is up in June. It's been 4 years. I think 4 years is long enough. But I wanted to touch on something a little more personal. I've been on this board 4 years, and I've grown a lot. I've had the opportunity to represent the city of Las Vegas on this board and work with incredibly intelligent individuals, like-minded individuals, and those who truly care about the public, care about the community, and care about getting the best services to the people of this community. Dr. Iser, you, sir, you have been wonderful. I think we've always had a great relationship. I've always valued your leadership, friendship, and most of all, your willingness to sit in the room when the seat was not so cool. And I respect that.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful staff. I respect all of you, and I just think it's time for me to move on and get a fresh new face in here with a different ideological view, fresh new ideas on how to best serve you guys and the people of the city of Las Vegas. Ms. Bradley, you've been wonderful, and I love the advice that you've given me, and I'll take it with me. And I say this now because I'm not promised tomorrow. Nobody is. So I'd like to get this out now. Michelle, you changed the name on me a few times. But you know what? You have been an amazing person. I've grown with all of you. You guys have been great. And to see where we were to where we are now, and we've switched a few locations, but to where we are now, it's just been wonderful. And Ms. Wells, what can I say? You're like my second mother. You really are. You're like my second mother. And I will continue to grow. This is not the last of me. This is just the last of me on this board. Okay, but I will continue to serve the people. That is what I most care about. That is what is in here. Okay? And I'll continue to keep doing that. And all of you back there, you gentlemen back there, I see you. You guys have been great. I love working with you over these 4 years. Okay? And keep doing what you guys are doing. Okay? Keep doing what you guys are doing, because I know you don't do this just for the sake of doing it. You do it for the people. And I appreciate that. So thank you so much.
Thank you. If I may, thank you for your very kind words. So if Ms. Wells is your second mother, that makes you my grandson.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
You'll be okay, everybody?
Mm-hmm. Might come a little bit closer, Mr. Collins.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right, the next item on the agenda is the adoption of the January the 14th, which is today's agenda. Have you all had an opportunity to review the agenda?
Yes. Last time we had an excellent presentation. Review of the marijuana issues, and it's not on this agenda. Is this the time to ask questions about a follow-up with that?
Let's see.
If there is a follow-up, it's not about one. It's just.
I can speak briefly.
Well, hold just a second. Because of the way that open meeting laws have to go, let's do it under CHO comments, if that's okay. Dr. Osgood.
I just wanted to ask some questions.
Okay. And if I may add to this, Tick Siegerbloom will be our new board member from the county, and I think we'll have an interest in marijuana issues with him joining the Board of Health.
Move the agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
All
Aye.
Any opposed?
Any opposed? Okay, so approved. So let's move on to the consent agenda. So the only thing we have on the consent agenda this morning is the review and approval of the minutes from our October the 18th meeting. Have you had an opportunity to review those minutes?
So is this the time to?
This would be a time to move approval of the consent agenda.
So not to ask the questions?
No, ask the questions under item Roman numeral 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
So this is the time we are reviewing the minutes from our October the 18th meeting, and so have you had an opportunity to review those minutes, Board?
Yes.
So we'll need a motion to go forward.
So moved.
Just a minor correction: it's October 8, not 18.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Osgood, you're motioning to approve the October 8th
Correct.
Minutes.
That's what it says on mine.
No, I can't see sometimes.
It's okay. Do we need a second?
Okay. Do we need a second,
please? I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay. So, reports and discussions and things that may need action. So let's have the review of the accreditation process.
Good morning. My name is Mimi Ujie. Previously, I worked at the Utah Department of Health. And I was the Performance Improvement Manager / Accreditation Coordinator. It was 3 years endeavor, and we succeeded in getting accredited at the end of the journey. I have taken over as accreditation coordinator as of today. Also, I am the quality and performance improvement coordinator here at the SNHD. And it is my pleasure to be here. The purpose of site visit, we just had a site visit in January, last week, January 9th and 10th. And the goal of site visit was to write site visit report, and which was site visitor's responsibility, and they were tasked to do so within 2 weeks. And the site visit gave operational context of documentation, and it gave them a chance to verify submitted documentations and to have in-person discussions in the interview settings. And also it gave them a chance to have a direct observation and learn more about governance and partnerships. And I believe some of you were there in the governance interview session. And we thank you for participating in that. And it's pretty much peer review. The site visitors were, we are unable to disclose their names. However, they are from large health district, county health departments, I should say, in the United States. One was from South, one was from West, and one was from East. And it gave them a chance to develop their site visit report so that they can send that out to the accreditation committee. So So within 2 weeks, they submit their draft version of site visit report, and they will go through many revisions. And at the end, we get accredited status or not accredited, which means action plan. We have a year to make an improvement on their recommended items and be accredited at the end of the year. And it will be based on the accreditation committee will base their decision on the site visit report, which was written by 3 site visitors. Interview sessions were anywhere from 30 to 1 hour sessions, and 12 domains, and CHA and CHIP, strategic plan, governing entity interview, and community partners sessions. About the site visit itself went rather well. They commented that we made the first, that we were the first health department or district that welcomed them with a dance. And it was, I really appreciate my colleagues who went above and beyond in getting ready for welcoming them with such a nice spirit. We also had this, I don't know if you can see it, but it says, "Welcome to Fabulous Southern Nevada." So FAB is the organization that's in charge of accreditation, so they coined it with Fabulous. So this was a hit. Everybody wore this, showed the spirit behind accreditation. So the next step would be the site visitor would be writing site visit report, and it would go through revisions, and the site, the accreditation committee would meet on the quarterly basis. The next one would be March. So if the site visit report makes it to the March, we would know whether we have been accredited or put on site visit. On the action plan.
I would add that I think we recognize, what they told us is that about 40% of departments get this action plan that Mimi just described to you. And I suspect that we're going to be among that 40%. Don't know, but I suspect so. So one of Mimi's jobs now, I think, is to look at where the documents that we submitted might have not quite met the standards, in her opinion, because we don't know what the visitors think, and then to try to get us up to a level higher than where we are. One of our big issues, I can tell you, is that in the emergency preparedness issue, that some of our documents weren't signed. And that's due to our open records laws here, and that's due to my choice to tell. I appreciate Ms. Bradley too. Everyone probably saw that little subtle move. And that's due to my direction to staff. That's better, but not good enough. But that's where we are. And the record becomes whatever you put down. So among that, they only visited this site. They did not look at our clinical programs because that's not what they do. But they did look at our community health programs, our environmental health programs, and our and some of our other programs like HR and those kinds of things. For the 3 people who came, Mr. McDowell, Dr. Osgood, and Ms. Coker, we really appreciate your attendance. We had 2 members from the regular Board of Health as well. We appreciate your effort, and we will keep you involved.
If the report isn't done by the March meeting, when's their next meeting, in June or something?
I believe so.
We believe, though, that they have direction to get us something back at that March meeting. By the way, I can tell you that there are four jurisdictions in Nevada, Washoe County, as you all know, Carson City, and Southern Nevada Health District as local health authorities, and then the State Division of Public and Behavioral Health. So far, Carson City is accredited. They're probably into their year two. Washoe County is a little bit behind us in preparing for a site visit, and the state is far behind us. And that's a lot of that is due to resources, as I think you all know, that we're a resource poor state in terms of finances and being able to find someone and free up the time, free up the money to be able to support them. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mimi. Item two. Are there any recommendations or anything that we'd like to discuss with regards to items we would like to forward to the January 24th Board of Health meeting?
If I may add, Mr. Collins, is that what we want to do is also maybe during CHO comments is discuss the items that you'd like to see at upcoming Advisory Board of Health meeting. So I can say that on your behalf and my behalf to the regular Board of Health.
Okay. And I did get the email from you and Tina floating around a table discussion after this meeting. I'd like to kind of incorporate that discussion with your Chief Health Officer's report.
That's perfect.
Okay. Therefore, let's move on to the Chief Health Officer's report.
Just asking, Ms. Bradley, do we need a motion to have me take that?
Nope. The board can always go back and approve the recommendations.
Okay.
All right. So, since seeing no recommendations to go forward to the January 24th meetings at this time, let's go ahead and move on to the Chief Health Officer's report.
And Dr. Osgood, if you don't mind, I'll do one thing first and then...
Mine is very short.
Okay, well, this will
at least on our side.
This will be pretty short, too, I think. Here's the video. I think we may have... This was from our holiday party. Thank you.
Michelle.
Ms. Coker had asked to see the video of the flash mob that we did for the accreditation team. We didn't take one of that. So we wanted to show you and the other Board of Health what we did at the holiday party. Scott Black was our MC, and I think you can tell without even listening to his banter what a fun person he was to have at that. So we really appreciate it from your jurisdiction.
Negative. He's North Las Vegas.
It's a city. You live in Las Vegas, work in North Las Vegas. North Las Vegas.
Please forgive me.
But all right.
Beyond that, and we can go to Dr. Osgood next, or I can give you a brief rundown of where we are from the CHO report, whichever you would prefer, Mr. Collins.
Let's go ahead and go with Dr. Osgood, and then we'll...
Okay, well, this is just a very, very short question. Those of us who were here remember that you guys made a very, very good presentation of what you've learned so far about the public health related to the marijuana laws and stuff like that. And about every fifth sentence you said, we don't have this information. We don't have this. Including such things as, oh, by the way, when the police stop a car, they don't test for marijuana, and the likes. I'm going to give you a personal observation that's not scientific.
If I may intervene just really quick, reference your comment about police not testing for marijuana. I want to differ. I just made a stop and tested for marijuana. So I don't know.
Okay, I didn't say that correctly. If they were positive for alcohol, they didn't test for alcohol.
Okay.
And so that's what he said. This is a personal observation. This has nothing to do with science. Some of you may know that I ride my bike. And I ride about 50 miles a week, and I've been doing it since I stopped running 25 years ago. And the streets now, in my view, I have to be much more alert than I've had in 23 years of riding my bikes on the streets of Las Vegas, because I'm noticing people, cars that are not paying attention to the road in the behavior pattern that has been described as marijuana, use of marijuana. And so I would just, and I notice it more and more and more. Granted, we have more and more people who are legally using marijuana in this town, and we have more and more of them who are driving. I look at it that the health district, as you guys did so well, if we could enhance our reports, maybe we could make some public recommendations. You guys, at that last meeting, I asked if you knew whether or not the law currently has a limit on the amount of THC that can be in the cooks, and you at that time didn't know.
I'm sure there isn't.
It doesn't. But I'm just asking, maybe we could find that out, as I reported to you guys before in Colorado, the amount of THC and concentration of THC could be as much as 8-9 times of what it was in the 60s with the marijuana that we had. We used it then. And as you guys know, that's the principal chemical that destroys teenage brains. So I was wondering if you guys have the opportunity as we go forward to collect more information both about the mental health and the teenage use of marijuana and the mental health impacts, as you guys described so well last time. You hadn't had an opportunity to contact anybody in the mental health arena to see if there are more ER visits and stuff like that. I'm just asking. I'll be happy to talk to you privately and maybe ask, give you a couple of questions that might be added to the surveys as we go forward. I personally think that this is the appropriate organization, as you guys described last time, to make public what some of the public health issues are with the use of marijuana. And my personal feeling is that's completely the laws that we passed are fine, that we just need to regulate them. So I'm just going to ask, going forward, if you would expand and continue your surveys.
We certainly can expand and continue our surveillance. We're not funded, as you all know, to do this. So that makes it difficult, but at your request, at the board's request, we can do that. I think that the mental health and public health ramifications of THC and cannabinoids in general are pretty well documented in terms of no doubt SAMHSA research, but also research that's been done by the other states, and we'll try to pull together a listing of that.
Okay, and what I'm thinking is that once we've got that, maybe we can ask the board to match the gap analysis of what regulations we do have and what might be appropriate to recommend to the legislature that we need to have. That's all I'm suggesting.
Thank you.
To take the next action. Sorry for taking this, Mr.
Holman. So for the rest of my report, I'm not sure, I wasn't here at your last meeting, but we did have an active vector control season last year, but no arboviruses in any people that were diagnosed. Could have been because we did find some pools that were positive with mosquitoes with West Nile virus, but we saw no clinical cases here in Southern Nevada. Who knows what will happen this coming season, but we're geared up and ready for that. In the influenza season that we're in right now, what we get are weekly reports during the arbovirus, during the mosquito season, on those diseases. And then on this season, we get influenza reports. That's always on our board, website, if you're interested in seeing those. And we disseminate those to the public. But it looks to be, from my opinion, sort of an average year. There were fewer cases last week than there were the week before, but it will wax and wane. We do see emergency departments not being overwhelmed this year yet, but we're still kind of early in our influenza season. We are pulling together, a third item is that we're pulling together our legislative agenda that will be ready for the regular Board of Health this month, and then we'll share that with you all as well. I can tell you, and it's no secret, that we've been working with the legislature, and they have, the Interim Health Committee, put together a BDR related to public health funding that will go forward. It's not filled out yet, but we know essentially what will be in it. The problem will be is where will the funding come from? I have met with Julia Ratty, who is the chair of the Senate, and Mike Sprinkle, who is the chair of the assembly, on this and other issues. And then we're working on getting a meeting with the governor. So both of the chairs asked me, not just me, but for all of the jurisdictions to get together with the governor and try to encourage him to put it into his addended budget request. We're avidly working on that now with Bradley Meyer, who is with our Argentum, and that's our lobbying firm. Unless you have questions, I think that's about all that I have.
Dr. Izar, I do have one question. Can you speak to the 90 and 90 HIV eradication program?
Sure, I can. In fact, we're putting together, let me back up. So on World AIDS Day on December 1st, we worked with Jerry Cade. Actually, he sponsored a meeting over at I think it's UMC, that we attended, and there were no media there. So what we did is to sponsor a press conference here, in this room, in fact, with Jerry and others in the room, and we talked about this 90-90-90 proposal. We're putting together a PowerPoint presentation right now, and basically what it is a World Health Organization proposal that, given the number of HIV positive cases here in Southern Nevada, we want to be able to identify 90% of those within the next few years. And of those 90% that we identify, we want to get 90% of those onto effective antiretroviral therapy. And of those, we want 90% of those then to be virally suppressed and have CD4 counts that are higher than what they start out with. So that's a proposal that we're doing. One of the recommendations that I made is that we all go, you all and regular Board of Health, and we're going to be presenting this to the Facilities Advisory Board, which are the chief executive officers of the hospital systems, to start looking at how can we identify or screen people in emergency departments. We will be going out and doing a whole bunch of more outreach, including hepatitis A, hepatitis C, and other kinds of, and HIV outreach to homeless in the tunnels and elsewhere to try to identify that first 90%. We do have an HIV clinic here. Jerry Cade has another one, or his group has another one at UMC. We're probably the largest providers of HIV care. I could be wrong, but I don't think so, here in Las Vegas or in the Valley. So between the two of us, we can handle the additional cases that we identify. So 90% of those people who are HIV positive, we identify. 90% of those we get on effective antiretroviral therapy, and of those, 90% to be virally suppressed. What that does then is to help ensure those people who are virally suppressed are very, very, very much less likely to transmit it to others. We have other programs that we work with here at Southern Nevada Health District. One is post-exposure prophylaxis, which means a needle stick, for example, and someone who may have been exposed to HIV with a needle stick or even with sexual encounters, that we can give post-exposure prophylaxis. We also have pre-exposure prophylaxis, and that is to identify a high-risk group of people who we can identify and prescribe effective therapy to prevent the transmission. So in the best of all possible worlds, we use the 90-90-90, we use the pre-exposure prophylaxis, and we still encourage people to use condoms. So that's, as far as I know, the best course of action for any jurisdiction to take. Does that answer your question, Mr. Collins?
It does, and I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And then finally, I got your email and Tina Coker's email regarding a round table discussion. Michelle and you and I know
we
that
did.
Prior to each one of these advisory board meetings, we're scrambling for some agenda items. And so in your report, and finishing up your report today, can you address with us, you know, some of the things that we can bring forward from our jurisdictions that could serve the board as a whole?
I think among those, primary care would be among the most important. It's one of our three CHIP priorities, access to care. We are now doing primary care, so you might want us to do an update on this in 3 months' time. I would ask that you do that. And then as we get ready to go into, because that'll be about the time that mosquitoes start showing up again, we could talk a little bit more about that. That's one of my favorite things to talk about, is the people to my right know. And then what I would suggest is those of you on the board to let Mr. Collins know what your priorities are and let him work with us so that we can establish a set of agenda items over the next year, for example. So if there are other things that you'd be interested in knowing about, Dr. Osgood, we just heard from you. Mr. Tomaso, there may be things that you have and the rest of you have that you'd like to discuss. There may be things outside of our jurisdiction. We can still discuss them. I mean, outside of our authority, we can still discuss them. So if you wanted to bring to me, for example, agricultural waste, that's outside of our authority. So if there's a horse farm near you and their waste is bothering you or your are the people that you know, you can talk about it, but there's nothing we can do about it. That goes underneath another agency's jurisdiction. There are other things that that might rise to that level as opposed to our level. And if that's reasonable to you, then we could, Michelle could send out a note to all of you as we get ready for the next agenda and ask you all to discuss with Mr. Collins to put on the list. Or we could do that now and send out a request for you to get agenda items to us for the foreseeable year. Is that reasonable to you?
That's reasonable to me. And I think what would probably be most helpful is, since we're doing the meetings quarterly, the month prior to the board meeting, if Michelle, if you could send out an email to each of the members and ask them if there are agenda items that they would like to add. I've been so busy with things at my job that I intended to attend the accreditation, but that got in the way. And so I know everybody's got stuff going on, but I think that if we do this a month out from each meeting, that we could at least get some reasonably good items to bring forward to this meeting and then forward on to the Board of Health.
So get a suggestion to add to that, and that is you might want to also ask each department head if they, as they're
we always do,
going through their functions, if they want to bring up something to us that they're having issues with.
But we do that already, so. And we would appreciate it if you could get a larger list to us that we could space it out over this next year.
Okay.
That would be helpful to us.
And us as a board, I think we can work on that. Or is there anything else?
No, sir.
All right. Well, then, I appreciate that report, and I appreciate everything all of you are doing. Dr. Osborne can appreciate this. This board is new, and this is the first time, and we're still trying to feel our way through how we can be most effective. So I think this is another step in that direction.
And if I may, I meet with Marilyn and Scott, who is our vice chair, Commissioner Kirkpatrick, and Councilman Black, and I'm meeting with them today, and I'll ask them as well.
Oh, great, I appreciate that, thank you.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, since we're talking about agenda items, one of the functions that I see as being a resident of the city of Las Vegas and part of this board is to bring forth the complaints from the public, okay? Because we're first line. And a lot of what I'm hearing and a lot of what I am seeing is people are upset behind the fact that you have people coming into grocery stores with their animals. Now, I'm an animal lover.
But when you see people touching their animals and whatnot, and then they're touching the fruits and vegetables, you have a lot of people complaining about that. I've heard it 3 or 4 times now. So these are things that we'd like to, at least I would like to bring to the attention of the Southern Nevada Health District, because you have people out there, I'm not gonna call them constituents because I'm not an elected official, but they are residents, and that is their primary concern, and a lot of what I'm hearing and the complaints that I'm hearing.
If I may, we've had a full discussion about this at the regular Board of Health, and we don't enforce or not enforce, but we do inform the American with Disabilities Act for grocery stores, and I think it was probably about 6 months ago that we sent out a notice to all of the grocery stores in particular about this issue. But if someone comes in and makes what they think to be a valid claim about having an animal, then the stores can't do much about it. There are valid animals, and they're usually not cats, although those are emotional support animals, but they're dogs and miniature horses, and I think there's a third, monkeys, isn't it? That can be legitimate ADA animals. A cat isn't, a ferret isn't, but we don't enforce those at any other places, and that's the broader discussion we had at the regular Board of Health. But we do send out notices, and I would tell people who complain to me is you go to that store manager and you tell them, because the store manager can ask, is this a service animal? And I think that there are certain other questions that they can ask that we did send out to grocery stores. We can do that again, since it sounds like it's still going on. Mr. McDowell, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
And it's troubling a lot of individuals, especially in the grocery stores. And, as I stated, I'm an animal lover. I love animals and whatnot. But as the representative of the city of Las Vegas and the resident on this board, I feel compelled to have to bring this forward and put that
we appreciate
out there
it.
And let you guys know about it. I'm glad you guys discussed it already.
Are there any local regulations between service animals and emotional support animals? Because I know some stores will have signs up, service animals are okay, but emotional animals are not.
No, because they have to follow the ADA, and the ADA lists the kinds of animals that are allowed. But again, we don't involve ourselves in that. That might be something that the jurisdictions, North Las Vegas, the county can take up themselves in terms of trying to toughen up some of those regulations.
Through ordinances
and so on. But thank you for the topic. If there's anything new that we can figure out to bring back to you, we'll do that.
Thank you so much, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Just to add to that, there is no such thing as an emotional support animal under the ADA.
There is not.
The animal has to be able to perform a service.
And that's correct.
What service does this animal perform?
That's correct.
You run into that in the industry, the casino industry. That everybody
that's correct.
A dog in and it has a reason. The best one that's hard to challenge is, well, this animal will advise me, alert me if I'm going to have a heart attack. I'd like to see a dog trained to do that. You can't ask them, let me see, how's it do it? It's getting out of hand. Actually, they're coming up with making up more stories than they dare you to challenge them.
That's correct.
Because they're always threatening lawsuits. But it did get out of hand. It's out of hand. It's completely out of hand. You have dogs running around barking and biting people, and they say, oh, no, this is a service animal.
That's not allowed. They have to be under the control of the owner.
Right. It's just it's a terrible thing that happened in this country under that ADA law. Now you can buy on the internet. You can buy
You can buy a little vest,
you can buy papers, anybody wants to show you papers that they bought on the internet. With the dog's picture on it.
Yeah. But, that's how I got my driver's license. just a joke.
It is hard to police, but that is a problem.
Not for the record.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, but Mr. Tomaso, you're right. Emotional support animals aren't covered under the ADA. But many cities do allow those, I believe.
Allow, but if you're a businessman, you don't have to allow.
No.
That's the problem. Not only are they going into grocery stores, they're coming into restaurants. They're putting them up on chairs. They're sitting up on the tables. Nobody likes to see that.
And owners are afraid to confront someone because of the scene that can occur.
And the lawsuit.
And the potential lawsuit. And loss of customers.
Sorry to interrupt, but I dealt with the exact situation about 4 weeks ago.
Could you use the microphone?
Oh, sorry to interrupt, but I dealt with the same situation about 3 weeks ago in the nightclub industry. We had a guest come in with a service dog or an emotional support dog, but you don't want to ask, you know, those types of questions, and immediately, you know, the said guest, you know, is threatening to do this or do that. And obviously we have a choice as a private operating business to make our decisions, but nonetheless we decided to let the guest in. And the dog was in a vest and had bells and whistles and everything else to attract attention. And additionally for support when needed, but you know, it's a little bit of a show for a lot of people.
And we've had seen an increase in the fire department. Even we'll transport somebody to the hospital, they want to take their animal with them. We can't take that. We can't go to the emergency room with that animal. So try to explain that to them and treat them, and it's
exactly really, right.
So now we're trying to figure out how to deal with that on our end. How do we do this without getting in trouble?
I agree. We wish there were a way that the health district could be helpful in this, but again, we don't enforce or do anything related to the ADA. That's much bigger than all of us in this room. But we do know what the regulations allow, or the ADA guidelines allow.
Any other comment from you, Dr. Eisen?
No, sir.
Okay, so then that brings us to our second period of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board regarding matters under the jurisdiction of the health district may do so at this time. Please come to the podium at this time.
One last comment. I wanted to give another high praise to Emily, who was not here. She has just recently been replaced. She was doing it on an interim basis, I believe.
That's correct.
But I want to say publicly that that young lady is awesome. She came in and she took the reins halfway through and got us all the way to the point. And Dr. Ice, I believe I stated this in the meeting with the accreditation board. She deserves that credit. She needs that credit. And she couldn't have done it with all of you behind her. So I think that's important to put that out there. And all of us board members recognize what she did and how she did it. And she's a tremendous asset. And I'll say it again, she needs a raise wherever she is. She needs to get one because she is an awesome individual and she really made the accreditation process smooth for us as a whole. So I just wanted to put that out there and thank her again. You can let her know I said thank you again.
We will.
All right, thank you.
Is there any other public comment? So, Ms. Bradley, I can't remember how this goes. Can I just adjourn the meeting or ask for a move?
Just adjourn.
Okay. So, seeing no further public comment, we're going to adjourn this meeting.
Wait a minute. Next meeting, if we can put that out there.
Do you have that?
Official next meeting.
April 8th.
April 8th? Okay. All right.
Not the 18th, the 8th.
Eighth.
All right. Therefore, this session of the Southern Nevada Advisory Board of Health meeting is adjourned.